Hello everyone, this is Tuffin 007 and talking to you from the Telford, or near Telford, at the Iron Bridge Museum. We're here to look at a digital artwork called Core, which is produced via computers onto 5 20-foot screens. And on there you've got shapes of bodies which move and dance and brighten and lighten and shadow and stuff. And as they move and dance and get brighter and darker, the music that is produced with each body also moves and follows the pictures exactly, but in 3D sound. So I shall trap some of that later on and let you hear it.
Describing one of the digital pieces that has been at the Iron Bridge Gord Museum called the Core piece. And that piece is a sound installation and a visual piece. And I came with Gavin Griffiths a few weeks back, and we were just really excited by the impact of the sound installation. So we just thought it would be a really great opportunity for more blind and partially sighted people to come and access that, and also to gain your feedback as well about how that audio description's worked for you, your sort of feelings about that. So that's, this day is a sort of very practical day and a real day where hopefully we can talk about all the bits and pieces. And also Louise Fryer's here to talk about the Sporting Life exhibition, which is in the other building on the right-hand side of here. That is really an exhibition which, Paul, could you just say a bit more about that exhibition?
It was part of a national initiative looking at different ways that local communities could interpret their local heritage. And the Iron Bridge Gorge Museum selected local sport, not just historic sports such as coracle racing and quoits and the famous Captain Webb, the first man to cross the channel, to swim across the English Channel, but also contemporary sporting heroes as well, like Richie Woodall, who's a local chap born in a community called Woodside, just up the hill from here, who went on to become an Olympic boxer. And what we've done, we've put appeals out to our local communities to help us put the exhibition together. Many of the donated objects, lent objects to us, as well as using our historic archive of images. So it's a cross between heritage as well as contemporary sporting culture.
Yeah, that's great. And this project itself has been funded by Arts Council. And the idea is that we've worked on 3 or 4 cultural Olympiad projects. So Godiva was one of those pieces that we worked on. And Bruce Tetlow's here today, who's an audio describer. Bruce worked on the Godiva piece. And he's also obviously going to work on the Core piece later on. And we're also working with Punch Records and looking at how we can develop different parts of the programme that they've been working on over the last probably 12 months to sort of open up that access to that as well. Particularly interested Evokes here to work with spoken word artists at looking at how we can develop different ways of audio description, meeting the needs of blind and partially sighted people. So it'd be really good today to get your input and feedback, to email myself, and I'll give everybody details, or Gavin, just about things you might like changing about audio description, or where you've been and it's been absolutely fantastic. All the good practice we really want to hear about. Okay, Gavin, would you like to just say something about the Core piece? Because I think you really enjoyed it, didn't you?
Yeah, without giving too much away, I guess. obviously, everyone has different tastes. Now, with art and or sort of museums and galleries and that kind of thing, I'm sort of more, unless I can get to touch or certainly get close to something to get a feel of what I'm looking at or near, I'm not good at being interested in it. And Zoe mentioned this, and being digital and so on, I thought, well, that's, you know, it's a bit more in my kind of area, new age kind of stuff. And I came and had it described to me. blown away is the only way I can put it, is that I was really taken in by it, and because for once I was able to put a picture into my mind and then follow that wherever it went. I can't say anymore really, because it gives it away, but yeah, blown away, fantastic.
No, that's great. I think it's really important as well to look at how digital art can be completely accessible for blind and partially sighted people, and I it just with small tweaks in different ways, it can open up a whole new world. Mm-hmm. Are we going to do the Sporting Life exhibition first?
What we're going to do, we're going to visit our Sporting Life Sporting Heroes first of all, which will be led by
Louis.
Hi, Dick. And then we'll come back, and then most of them are going to have a rather nice lunch. Because there's no such thing as a free lunch, so we'll have some feedback as well. then Bruce, who's to my side here, will take us across to enjoy Core, and following Core, it's back here for a final cup of tea, a bit more feedback, and then hopefully everyone now has a passport ticket. If you haven't got a passport ticket, just see me, because then you're free to explore the other museums of Ironbridge at your own pace. And as I've said earlier, come back at any stage over the next 12 months to enjoy the exhibitions across Ironbridge, because your passport is valid for 12 months. Without further ado, should we let Louise lead on?
Yes, so we're going to go back out of the main doors, straight across the cobbled area in front of you, and turn left and go into a small gallery, and then we'll gather there and have a bit of an overview, and then I'm going to work with Matt, who's one of the curators here, and he's got all the historical knowledge, and I'm going to do some of the description, and there's some things for you to handle as well. So let's make our way through now.
Can we leave stuff here? Is that okay?
Yes,
apparently
yeah.
It's fine, but somebody's going to be here. So I'll just check again.
Yes, I'm so sorry, I should have said, while we leave your bags, anything here, Lewis, who's looking after us today on the refreshment side, will be here, keep an eye on things.
Sorry, is anyone okay?
Needs a hand, just wave.
Foundry and what have you, where we were first talking and introducing everybody, that used to be the canteen. So certainly during the Second World War we've got some nice photographs of lots and lots of people crammed in there getting their lunches, and they had the canteen very close to the workshops to make sure that they lost as little time as possible getting people to and from their lunch breaks and then getting them back out to work. But the space that we've got now, as you can sort of tell from my voice, that it's a very wide open space with very nice high ceiling, and these days rather than using it for building engines or castings and lots of industrial processes, we use this space now for weddings and meetings and exhibitions as well. So it makes a really nice space to fill up with all sorts of different things for all sorts of different purposes.
And just on the left hand side there are a couple of big bits of machinery. I don't think I can even hazard a guess as to what they are. One thing has a wheel on the top and obviously winds down to press something very firmly.
Yeah, there's sort of items for machining, drilling certain component parts that we've got. You can tell I'm not overly familiar with them. I'd like to say that they don't come. They're ones that we've sort of rescued from other sites, but it's sort of die pressing machines and machines for turning out sort of stamped component parts for engines.
This one has W.H. Smith Jackfield written on the bottom.
Jackfield is just down the other side of the gorge, and it could well have come out of one of the factories, the ceramic factories, the tile manufacturers down that side of the gorge there.
I think they've been fixed in position, so if at any stage in the day you want to explore them, they're very tactile. They've got lots of cogs and big wheels and bits that would have moved up and down, but they're pretty safe to touch now.
Oh, absolutely. They're as close to indestructible as you can as you can find.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, our philosophy with certain objects, if you break them, it's our fault.
Right, we're going through a small doorway on the left into a much more modern area.
behind me. Yeah. No, it's okay. Buzz?
Okay, so we're here in the gallery. It's a low-ceilinged brick space, and there's carpet on the floor. The walls are painted a cream colour, and it extends from your right to your left for about 20 metres, and it's about 7.5 metres across. Quite a low ceiling, and it's mostly given up to displays around the walls. So there are lots of framed photographs, around about 30 or so framed photographs, mostly black and white, mostly taken around the end of the 19th century and the early 20th century. But there are also some much brighter panels on the walls, which are in large print, and they have photographs of more recent sporting heroes, as Paul was saying. And then along the length of the gallery, down the centre, are three big glass display cases with certain artefacts and bits of memorabilia. So with Matt's help, we're going to explore some of these objects, not everything. We've got about 40 minutes. So we'll pick out what we think is the most fun and the most interesting, and things that also we have for you to touch too. So we're going to come towards the left-hand end of the
Okay, so we have, first part of the day was actually given over to sports memorabilia from the area, really. We saw some medals, we saw lots of stuff to do with the captain. Captain Webb, that's it, who did a lot of swimming and stuff. Thank you very much. And this guy swam the channel and swam rivers and things like that, and eventually tried to swim the Niagara Falls, which swept him away and killed him at the age of 35. We looked at a football, which was the one from the South African Cup a couple of years ago, which was controversial because it didn't do what you told it to. And lots of other photographs of old sports bits and pieces and people around the Telford area. So, lots of people were there. Rachel?
Hello.
Rachel, do you tell us, how did you find it this morning? What did you find good or bad about today?
Oh, hang on, we've got... We've got...
Just having a lunch at the same time here. So I'll find out what Rachel thought in a second. So what did you think?
I thought it was very good. I thought the fact that you could, it would be nice to handle a few more things, but they were really nice. It was a nice coracle to look at, which was very interesting, because I've never seen one of those before. And there was, I think there was a picture of Alan, didn't we find one of an old footballer?
The old grey man at the back of the football team.
I think the audio description was really good. And you can,
And is audio description important then?
It is. It's very important because it brings things. I think it brings for a blind person, it brings things to life. And the way they were describing the photographs, you could really get a picture in your mind of them, and you can tell that the people who were describing them, as well, are very passionate about what they're doing. So it's not just here's a picture of whatever. You know, they really do want to get it across.
Cool. You enjoyed that then. Looking forward to Carl this afternoon.
Oh, yes. I've had a lovely lunch. I don't know if we can move.
The lunch is rather
rolling
special.
Into the...
What do you think, Mel? What do you find today? So far?
I was just going to say more about what Rachel was saying about describing a photograph. I mean, in a room like that, there was lots and lots of photographs, and you could easily just walk through it as a blind person and not get anything from it. Or you could walk through with someone who says, there was one picture of a hill with people observing the games and a flat field in front of it and everything that was going on. Whereas one person might say, there's a picture there of a load of people watching the games, and then the next person will come, like we had today. We had somebody being presented with an olive wreath. We had a horse and carriage. We had people on the hill. We had the field where the games took place. We had the grandstand all in one photograph. And
did you think, I thought, right? She didn't. She described everything without describing over-described everything, going too deep.
Just
trying to get all the colours and stuff. But she got bits of it in. But
and there was no interpretation either. It was description.
Yeah.
So you could then decide on your own interpretation.
And why is that important? Why is interpretation?
Well, interpretation's great if you want to hear somebody's interpretation. But actually, if you want to just get an idea of a picture, then you can
make your own mind up.
Make your own mind up about it. Yeah.
But you still get all the ideas.
Yes. Now. Yeah.
Val. What do you think?
I would have for a cheesecake.
That's fine. Val, what do you think of the cheesecake, Val?
Cheesecake's absolutely delicious, and you're missing out, Gap, by not having any.
I know, but I'm actually stuffed to the gills with ham and coleslaw. Do you think, anything else to add to what Rachel and Mel said about the description and stuff?
I think for me, because I can see a bit, sometimes it really helps if someone can describe something to me, then I know what I'm looking for, and I can focus on it. Quite often, if I'm presented with a big picture, it's hard to focus on the individual aspects of that picture. So if someone describes it to me and points to the various parts of the picture, it really brings it to life, and then I can see it, I can focus on it, and I can get a lot more from that. So although I can see enough of if I'm up close to something to see it, it still doesn't bring it to life in quite the same way. With me just looking at it on my own, so that and there's always things you miss as well as you're looking around.
But do you think with I found really with the way Louise was describing it, she didn't go too far, but you got everything in. You know what I mean? She didn't try and over-describe colours. She didn't try and over-describe a horse and carriage.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Everything was there, but you didn't need... some people trying to go far, far too into the pictures and stuff. Mm.
Yes, they tried to describe almost every minute detail.
And then you get bored, don't you?
Yeah, but they gave you enough information to understand what it was and to get something from it, but not so much that you're thinking, oh, you know, move on, you know.
Yeah.
And enough information to base questions on. If you wanted to know more about a particular thing, you could then maybe ask more. If you wanted to.
The other thing is the use of language as well. It's very difficult sometimes to describe something in a way that people understand. And I thought the use of language was excellent, because straight away I knew exactly what she was talking about. There wasn't any kind of, you know, it's a bit this way and a bit, you know, do you know what I mean? Sometimes people can use language that almost confuses you more than helps you.
And the way she described it really gave you without getting the dates off her immediately, she actually, you sort of knew which periods and stuff you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And also the general kind of joy that she seemed to have in describing as well.
She
it
did.
Didn't seem to be a chore.
Yes.
It wasn't a chore for anybody.
Yeah.
It seemed that actually they were really interested in what they were doing, and it really that, you know, if I've got something there and they're obviously not interested, then I'm not going to enjoy it as much.
No. Yeah.
But the passion that came out, and the joy and the happiness, and just the, you know, being pleased to be there, that really came across.
Were you going to say what?
Had an opinion there?
Was?
I said the lady was really passionate in what she was
saying.
Yeah.
So we all enjoyed so far.
And if you're bored, it doesn't come across.
Well, all I'll add is that was good. The next bit, I think, Mel knows me. A lot of people who know me. I'm not into museums and stuff. Unless, like I said at the beginning, I can get my hands on stuff. This core is a different concept, Neil. Right, it's fantastic.
That's what really made me want to come today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'll like it.
I was looking forward to today.
You speak tonight. Do you not want to? Marvellous.
Right, we'll leave it there then. Audio Booers, we'll be back with another Audio Boo, part two, Telford Ironbridge. I keep saying that. Ironbridge Museum or Core Part 2. If I can actually find the on-off button for my recording, I shall stop recording, stop boring you at this bit, and eventually, when I find the right bit, get back to the real reason I'm recording today, which is to do with core. This extra bit to do with the spot now is a bonus. So, hope you enjoyed so far. We'll be back. I don't know whether it's not at the minute. It's supposed to be, and it's not happening.
That's what you said to Georgia to make me cry. And she was just like, what do I say? I was like,
you walk right into that one, didn't you?
I said, why would you make me cry? We're supposed to be family.
Yeah.
And she was like, he's four. I'm like, yeah.
Lovely.
I've decided to drop a bit down then.
No, I don't know where this is going. I think it's still recording. Unfortunately, sorry, audio viewers. This is my this is really strange. I don't know what's doing. I'll be back. Right, so yes, you've been listening in to everybody talking here. Sorry about that, people. I know this has gone on. So hopefully you've turned off by now, and we'll be back in a bit with part two of Core. So find the right button. Bye bye.